Hey, I want to share with you a message on my heart. This is an atypical message. There's not 15 slides and a lot of outline, just three words: commemorate, celebrate, and anticipate. I want you to reaffirm your faith in Christ with me today. I want you to leave here today with a spirit of being enthused and revived and your faith affirmed to do what God has called you to do in this generation. Right now, we have right now. Today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your heart. When God calls your heart, today respond, "Yes, Lord." We are called to serve in the time God has given us. So I want you to remember that we have a sense of work and witness right now. There's a part of us that commemorates the sacrifices of those who've gone before. I asked my secretary to help us think about all the buildings that were built here, sanctuaries and gyms and education buildings, and you think about kitchens and fellowship halls, and when one burned down, we built another one. When we outgrew one, we built this one. And you and I stand upon the shoulders who sacrificed, people who sacrificed, and we're grateful some of those people are still living with not 150-year-old charter members, I agree. But do you know we have 20 people in our church that are 90 years, they will either turn 90 this year or are 90. Some of them are here with us. People like Oscar Crane Jr. and Marilyn Driscoll and Tara Lee Foster and Brother Jimmy Gillis and Nellie Gregg and Pat Hinton and Helen Hoggett and Sue Holmes and Bertil Johnson and Evelyn Leggett and June Lofton and Louise McBride and Anita Nettles as we call her, Nan Noble, who we've mentioned, Cecil Rhodes, 102 years old this year, Eileen Smith, Marge Smith, Jimmy T. Smith, Carlene Stribling, Jean Timms, and often here with Miss Sue Ballard, her mother, Lois Wilson. Would you bless the Lord for these dear saints? The church, yes, we thank God for the tools we have, for buildings that we have. But they're just tools. It's people. We're people. And we're meant to take the gospel to people, to everyone. Jesus said in John chapter 6, he declared in verse 39 and 40, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." 150 years equals 54,787 and a half days. This is the half day. You've made it a half day. There was a first day in our church history. They gathered together. They dreamed and went out on faith and said, "We need to start a church." There was a first day, but can I tell you something? There's going to be the last day. There's coming the last day, and you and I are placed this day. That's all we have right now, this day. So we commemorate, and we celebrate, and we thank God and anticipate what God's doing right now. I'm grateful to announce that Wednesday our church has relaunched the Executive Building Committee. We've been blessed with buildings. Every barn needs a new coat of paint every now and then, and we've got a 1951 education building. If you want to see what 1951 used to look like, it still looks that way on the second floor. We need, we need to address it. There's playgrounds that need to be brought up into the 21st century. There's new entrances and all of that. But my friend, that's just the tools to help us start new classes and help us start new missions. And we have a vision of having a yearly touch of every continent by sending someone from our church to every continent on this earth to touch and bring back a report of what God's doing. We want to expand. We want to start new ministries like Widow to Widows ministry and our English as a second language. It just started and is just reaching now three different cultures in our community. These ladies went to the Baptist building, got trained, came back. God started pulling people out of the community we didn't even know was here and brought together and now teaching English and the gospel in ministry to these dear, precious people that are right here. There's ministry to do. There's more ministry to do. But I want you to know today, not only in work and not only in witness, but the heart has to be in worship. It always has. This church for 150 years stands on the Word of God. We make no apology that the Bible is the sole authority for faith and practice. You and I have the great privilege to serve the Lord today. And I want us to look at our heart today and take those three words: commemorate, celebrate, and anticipate. We recognize that there's always been headwinds that we face as the church. It was that day in Jesus' day, and it is today. The tides of this world, popular culture, have always sought to sweep Jesus out to the depths and roll in their false idols. The church has always had to fight council culture. The mob crying, "Crucify him, crucify him," to the stoning of Stephen, to the rise of communism in the East, to the silencing of Christianity by the woke culture in the West. Christianity has always had to fight the good fight of faith. Friend, you and I are called to worship the Lord, to take our faith as serious as Jesus did when he gave it to us. And to say, "Lord, I'm going to reaffirm, I'm going to commemorate the cross. I'm going to commemorate the cross. I may not remember anything. I may not have anything of value, but I have the cross. And if I have Jesus, if I have the death, burial, and resurrection, what more could I ask? But I need to remember," Jesus said, "when you participate in my supper, remember me." What is he talking about? He's talking about his reason he came. He came to save. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I was lost. How about you? Did you know Jesus came? And we at First Baptist Church need to continue to commemorate the cross, not just to wear it, but to bear it. Jesus said, "Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me." Jesus took up his cross, and he calls us to take up our cross. What is the cross? Our daily submission to the will of God in our life. Before Jesus took up his cross, he literally prayed, "Lord, not my will, but your will. I'm entrusting you to do your great work through me." You and I commemorate the cross, First Baptist Church. Let it be said of us that we will say with Paul to the Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I'm calling you, I'm calling to myself today. Greg, are you commemorating the cross? Have you crucified that old flesh with Christ? Are you raised with him? Commemorate. I want you to celebrate. Friend, we need to continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ every day. our life ought to echo out the truth of come forth, arise. The world is putting nothing but fear and terror, always has. It's the same old thing over and over and over again. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is alive. And you and I are called to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. The world ought to see every time they put up the market report, there ought to be some Christian saying, he's still alive. Every time they saber rattle and nuclear weapons and all of the terror of war, we ought to still say, the stone still rolled away. You and I ought to live a life of hope. Yes, we live a life of reality. But can I tell you something? I'm tired of so much reality. I want the real reality. I want the fact that Jesus is alive. And First Baptist Church, we will celebrate. Hear me today. There's a thoughtfulness in our commemoration. There's a stillness in our commemoration as we look at the cross. But he's not on the cross. But there ought to also be a vibrancy in our celebration. Can I tell you something? The world doesn't mind getting loud. When they bring out their idols that they worship, they throw the flames in the air and the band's playing and the soundboard has maxed out the volume. They don't mind being loud. When the devil tries to terrorize you, he doesn't mind being loud. Can I tell you something? Don't let the rocks cry out. In our generation, Jesus said, if you don't praise me, the rocks will do what? Not whisper. The rocks won't whisper. I don't want to offend you, Jesus. No, no, no. The rocks will cry out, Jesus is alive. We need to celebrate the resurrection, but we also need to anticipate. In our lives, there ought to be in the background this hum, this sweet hum. It's sounding almost like trumpets warming up. It's like there's some music playing. We ought to anticipate the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, and people ought to see it in our life. While you're talking to him about, there ought to still be something in your life saying, he's coming back. He's coming back. Oh, there was a first day, and there's a today day, but friend, there's going to be a last day. And at that trumpet, when that trumpet sounds, and the skies part, and the Lord comes, and he receives his own unto himself, and we shall gather in the air. What a glorious day, friend, I'm telling you. I am so sick and tired of funerals. I'm tired of graves. I'm tired of cancer. I'm tired of hospitals. I'm tired of Alzheimer's. I'm tired of Parkinson's. Friends, sometimes I just get tired, but then I hear the trumpet sound. And my heart gets built up. And I want you, my friend, to join me as we leave here today saying, I get it. We live in a broken world and we get cut sometimes. I get it. People are hurting. I get it. Everybody's trying to rally, trying to find a place of hope. I'm telling you, church, this community, this world has never needed First Baptist Church more than it needs it right now. Right now, our dear association director made time to come and celebrate with us today. And I thank you so much, Brother David, to come here today. But he'll tell you, in 34,000 people in Lincoln County, there are 20,000 people right here, neighbors right here, literally within 10 miles of this place that do not go to church on any, they do not have any outward witness that they even care about the Lord Jesus Christ enough to get dressed and go to any of the 100 Christian churches in this county. They need a Christian that's excited about the Lord coming back, and we have that much time to tell them about Jesus. We have today. I'm communicating to you and to myself, I want to be more personal in my ministry in the days ahead. I want to be more personal. What that means is I want to focus in on the person, one at a time. Not the vastness. One person, and with God's help, communicate the love and grace of Jesus Christ, person by person by person. Imagine if this crowd right here of Christians said, Lord, I'm commemorating the cross in my life. Lord, I'm celebrating. I want the world to know there's light that shines through the darkness and the grave is still empty and Jesus is Lord. And I'm anticipating your soon coming. I'm looking to a city that's not built by hands. I'm looking in my heart to a city. And on that day, when the Lord comes back, I'm going to join the saints and sing, holy, holy, holy. I'm going to bow on my knees down before the light. And when I rise and turn my eyes, there I will see my Lord Jesus Christ, the light of that city. I hope today that you will join me in reaffirming our faith. Perhaps someone here doesn't know the Lord. You don't know the Lord. God's been talking to you. You can't deny it. God has been speaking to your heart and says, I have a plan for you. I want to spend all eternity. I created you. I love you. But we've got this sin issue that has broken and destroyed your heart and life. Come home. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and He will raise you up. Today, perhaps you can say, like I said, as a 12-year-old boy, I was a good kid. Went to church since cradle roll, but I knew even as a 12-year-old boy, I didn't know the Lord. My sins were not forgiven. I never humbled myself and said, God, forgive me. I place my faith in Jesus Christ and I receive your gift that only you can give. Today, somebody here may need to do that. And God may ask you to come down and make that public today. But you say, I'm in the process of, man, it's overwhelming to me. Then come talk to me. Come talk to a pastor. Come talk to Brother John. Come talk to one of our staff members. Talk to a friend that you know that loves Jesus. And talk to them about your need to receive Christ. Our church doors will be open. I'm going to ask our musicians to come and start taking their place. We're going to affirm our faith. And during this time of invitation, we're going to sing a great song called King of Kings. And we're going to reaffirm our faith. But for some, God may be calling you to be a part of our church or to take your stand for Christ today. But let us all reaffirm our faith today as we sing these great songs of praise. Would you pray with me, Heavenly Father? I ask, Lord, today that you do what only you can do, that you touch lives, that, Father, you move us today to live a life so close to you. It'd be like the Apostle John leaning our head on your chest, hearing your heartbeat. Father, I pray today during this time of worship, you would move us and move us closer to you. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Amen. Let's stand together for this time of response.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes, to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from the throne.